Shabbos Parshas Le'era. Le'era is a very hard parsha. It's a very parsha, Mayevsky. It's one of the hardest parshas to lay down. It's a hard parsha, right? So what?
I don't know.
It's a hard, very hard parsha. It's very long Haftarah. It's a long parsha. Let's discuss a few short ideas. First idea. Ve'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai, bekel Shakai, u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. First thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we criticize Moshe Rabbeinu that Chaval al da'avdin. Rashi later on, in the next page, Rashi's not on this pasuk, but later on he goes back and reviews the parsha and he says, Chaval, the good old days are long gone. In the good old days I was dealing with an Avraham, a Yitzchak, and a Yaakov. They are people who had faith. People who didn't ask questions. They did. Made promises. They only knew the name Shakai, which means Dai, which represents the concept of Dai. Enough. They were satisfied with very little. They did not need to see the fulfillment of Hashem's promises. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're demanding. You want results. You want the Shem Yud Kei Vav. That's the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Obviously, there are many deeper interpretations, and we've discussed one of the ideas from Rav Moshe Feinstein, a very powerful idea. Okay, and there are many approaches to this idea. I just want to add one little nakuda, which just occurred to me, which I don't know if it's emes or not, but look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk begins, the gam. The gam normally means I have another complaint. Complaint number one is, Moshe, you want results. You want Yudke Vavke. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were satisfied with Kel Shakon. The gam. What's the gam? Haki Moshe, I have established Es Brisi Itam. Loseis Lohem Es Eretz Kinoam. Eis Eretz Migurehem Asher Goruva. I'm just asking, Pshuta Shel Mikra, what does this mean? What is the Pasuk coming to teach us here? I've promised them to give them the land of Canaan, the land which they lived in their lifetimes. Rashi says v'gam. He elaborates a little bit, and he says, when I appeared to them at the Bris Ben HaBesarim to give them the land of Canaan, so they were very sad. They didn't demand much of me. Avraham had to buy Ma'oras Machpelah for Arba Meo Shekel Kesef Oiver La Soicher. And Yitzchak and Yaakov also always were challenged. Rashi doesn't go through all the details, but that's what Rashi means. They were very sad. They didn't ask questions. They didn't challenge me. I made promises to give them Eretz Yisrael, and yet wherever they went, they were taken advantage of. This is not your land. If you want to step foot over here, you're going to have to pay. I was told a few times that they made a calculation. I read in a sefer that Arba Meos Kesef Shekel Oiver La Soicher today is about $3 million. Okay, it's probably by now even more. Okay, it's at least $3 million. Where did Avraham Avinu have $3 million to buy a cave, a teeny little cave, a teeny little cave? He paid for it. There are only two things that we paid for in Eretz Yisrael. Number one is the Maris Machpelah and Aravna, the Har Habayis. The Har Habayis was paid for 50 shkolim. That was pretty cheap, I think. 50 shkolim, whatever it was, for from Aravna Hayivusi for the Har Habayis.
In Yaakov Bayis, as Bayis,
Mea Kisita. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a third thing was purchased. Mea Kisita, you could be right. Maybe there are three things. So there's a whole discussion. What's the significance of that these three things are the only things that were purchased in full payment? Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Machpelah and the Rav Nahivusi, Lahavdil Elis Alfi Abdullah, the only thing that was purchased in America legally is the island of Manhattan. Everything else was
Occupied,
appropriated, stolen. Any other words?
Say by Alaska and Louisiana
purchase.
Okay, Louisiana purchase. Right. But that was, I don't think that was like extortion.
Jefferson extorted?
Well, that's what they said about
Manhattan. Manhattan was extortion? I don't think so. Manhattan, what?
I don't know.
Certain parts that were purchased, I think it was extortion, and they were taking it whether you like it or not. We'll pay for it also, but that's called extortion. That's not what's the word in the Torah. The Torah is a certain word for that. Whatever it is. Okay, but let's... Okay, you'll check it out, you'll Google it, you'll tell me. In any event, Arbaisa, so what is going on? So this Rashi is telling us, the Pshut Shalom Mikra, that Kalash Baruch was complaining, Arbaisa, Rashi is telling us the Pshushal Mikra that Hashem is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's asking too many questions. He wants too much. With the others, there was Sazashal Kelshaka, he promises. And even the land, the Gam Hakimosi, I promised the land to them, to give them the land. So Rashi seems to be saying the Gam is that even though I promised them the land, and they did not get it. I promised them Eretz Yisrael, and yet when they needed to live in the land, they had to purchase for a very significant amount of money their rights just to live there. I want to add a little nekuda, which I think really is what Rashi is saying. There seems to be extra words in this pasuk, and those are the words Eretz Megurehem Asher Garuva. Why couldn't the pasuk just say V'gam Hakimosi Es Brisi Itam? I promised them Losei Slohem Es Eretz Kenan. I made promises to them that they will have the land of Canaan. And that's it. And then Rashi can say the same thing. And then when they lived in the land, I promised to them, it doesn't say all the details that Rashi is spelling out for us, I promised them the land, Eretz Canaan, and look what happened. They had to purchase the Ma'aretz Machpelah, they had to dig the wells, make negotiate with Avimelech, and the chulu, they didn't have an easy time. So what are you, Moshe, complaining so much? Why does the pasuk have to say the words Eis Eretz Megurehem Asher Goruva? That's obvious. Those words are obvious. You just mentioned, I promised them the land, and look, they did not complain that it was not easy for them. These words seem to be adding to Hashem's complaint. What is the pasuk trying to say? Perhaps you can suggest something very, very simple. In Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu, even though Hashem gave him the land, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they lived with the attitude, we don't deserve it. They lived in the land as Eretz Megurehem. We're just here as strangers. We don't feel entitled to the land. It's our land. Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael. But we live with humility. We don't possess it. We live with the attitude that we're just strangers. And why is Hashem telling this to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because this is exactly the issue, the problem that Klal Yisrael is dealing with in Mitzrayim. At the end of Parashas Vayigash, what is the last words of Parashas which all the Mepharshim dwell upon? This is a very sad pasuk. Vayeshev Yisrael, the whole goal was to come down to live in the area in Mitzrayim for how long? Until the famine is over. The famine is over. They're coming down. They're going to be just temporary residents in Mitzrayim. This is not their land. The land is Eretz Canaan. There's a famine. They have no choice. There's a bris ben avasarim. Yedur ateda. Kigyar yerzarecha. Be Eretz loy lohem. It's an Eretz loy lohem. It's not their land. They come down to Mitzrayim with the right attitude, but very, very quickly they begin to get used to it. They begin to enjoy it. And the end of Parashas Vayigash ends up on a very sour note. And the sour note is Vayeshev Yisrael be Eretz Mitzrayim, be Eretz Goshen. And then it says Vayeochazuva. They took possession. They felt very comfortable. It's their entitlement. Vayifru Vayirbu Ma'od. That was the beginning of all their problems. It's Eretz Loy Lohem. This is not your land. Your land is Eretz Canaan. You're only here temporarily. Don't get comfortable in Golos. Hashem is coming to contrast Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with Klal Yisrael. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov had the right to feel comfortable to say about Eretz Yisrael, Vayeochazuva. This is our land. It's our divine right. It's Hashem spoke to me. Hashem gave us this land. It's my land. Get lost. And yet, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, on the land that they are fully 100% entitled to, they live there with an attitude, Eis Eretz Megurehem. We're just gerim here. We're just sojourners. We're not comfortable here in Eretz Yisrael. Because we're just in this world for a short amount of time. Asher Goruva. They lived in the land as gerim. And look at the people over here in Klal Yisrael, a few generations later, they're living in Mitzrayim, in the land that does not belong to them. L'chol hadeis, Eretz lo Elohem, and there, v'ayeoch hazuvah. They took possession, they enjoyed, this is what they call their homeland. This is part of Hashem's complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's really totally zeh b'zeh. A person who lives with the attitude of Kel Shakai, Emuna Pshuta, I don't need the Yud Kei Vav Kei, I don't need to come on to supernatural miracles, I don't need to see results, I have Emun in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you live with Kel Shakai and you're not demanding of Yud Kei Vav Kei, then you will automatically be a person who is Asher Garuva. You live in this world as a ger. I'm just here for a short period of time to do my avoda, the proizdar to the Olam HaEmes. But when you have an attitude of vayi'och hazuva, it's an entitlement. Everything that I have in this world is an entitlement, especially things that you're not entitled to. The extreme opposite. It wouldn't be so bad to have an attitude of vayi'och hazuva in Eretz Yisrael, because that you're entitled to. But here the problem is vayi'och hazuva in Mitzrayim. That attitude means you're not focusing on Kel Shakai. You're focusing on Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're focusing on results. What have you done for me today? And that is the complaint. These two psukim, they go hand in hand. It's first Kel Shakai, and then there is the Gam. The Gam is Eretz Migurehem Asher Garuva. If a person lives with Kel Shakai, automatically you live with Emuna. Emuna, you live with an attitude of Eretz Migurehem Asher Garuva. I'm only here for a temporary, for a short amount of time. When you live with an attitude of Shmi Hashem, I want results, I'm demanding, I have entitlements, then you got a problem. Then you got a problem. It's not going to be Eretz Migurehem, it's going to be Vayi'och Hazuva, and then you're going to have to, unfortunately, suffer the consequences. Exactly, it's exactly the point, exactly what Yosef said. We're only here Lagur Ba'aretz. It's not the only possible. There are many psukim which bring out this idea. They only were meant to be there temporarily, and they got swept away. They got pulled in, and they felt it's very comfortable. Like I told you, we had the Navi Shir. Have you ever heard of a person who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, an American, who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, "This is my land, I renounce my American citizenship. I want to renounce my citizenship." You ever hear a person do such a thing? Never. No. Why not? You want to, because... Why? Benefits? Social Security? All these benefits? Are you a maimon? Eretz Yisrael? Are you a maimon? This is to show this is where I belong? Okay, it's quiet enough. Who's going to do such a thing? Eretz Megureihem, right? So okay, you wouldn't do it because, it's whatever. Let's go to another idea. Let's move ahead to... Okay. How many makos are there? Ask a child, they'll tell you. What kind of crazy question is that? Who doesn't know? There are 10 makos. The Asura makos. Okay. Datzach Adash Biachav. In Mitzrayim. How many? This week's parasha, we give the first 7 makos. In this week's parasha, there are 7 makos. In next week's parasha, there are 3 makos. So who doesn't know there are 10 makos? But the truth is, there's not. There are 11 makos. There are 11. How do I know there are 11 makos? The Parashat Pasuk. When Moshe comes to Paro and he tells him there's going to be dam, we're going to transform the or into dam, and Moshe proceeds. Aaron takes the mate and he puts the mate into the or and it turns into dam. Let me read you the psukim. There was nothing to drink, and Paro was not impressed. Paro says, "Okay, don't worry, I'm not impressed." Let's see, a dog asher by Yar Thomas. He warns them, "The dog is going to die." Va'asha Yar. Let's go further. Va'yorom b'mate v'yaches hamayim asher by Yar l'nei Paro l'nei avodah v'yehavku kol hamayim asher by Yar l'dom. And what happens? The fish dies. V'hadog asher by Yar mesa v'yivasha Yar. It becomes foul. V'lo yachlu mitzrayim lishtoy smayim min Yar. Next, they imitate Moshe. Next pasuk, here are the key words, dam lozos. The pasuk explicitly says that the makir of dam was connected to something else. Dam. Also, the Makkah of Dam had no impact upon him, just like something else had no impact upon him. And the fact that Pasuk is equating the two together indicates that they're all there to serve the same purpose, is to show that Moshe is Emes, and Moshe has a mission, and don't interfere. Let Moshe take the people out of Mitzrayim. What is the Gam Lazos, Rashi, Pasuk Chav Gimel, on page 170 in the article Chumash, Gam Lazos, L'moyfei Samate. The first thing that Moshe did when he came to Paro was, he took out the Mate, and the Mate turned into a Tanin. It turned into a serpent. Gam L'moyfei Samate. Shenepach L'tanin, it turned into a sea monster. V'loy L'zeh Shel Damanat, this Mate of blood. So let's go back. What was the first makkah? Vayashlech Aron es mate lufnei faro lufnei avadav vayehi lisanin. It turned into a serpent, into a sea serpent. Vayikra gam paro lachachamim v'lam chashrefin vayasu gam heima chaytumei mitzrayim b'laha tehem kein vayashlech yishmatei vayehi lisanin vayivla mate aron es mate son. So the truth is, there are really 10 makas. Because when you say a makah, makah means punishment, it means affliction. There was affliction. Blood, when the yard turned into dam, they were not able to drink. And there was no fish. Okay, no sushi. No fish, no sushi, nothing to drink. So they suffered. They suffered. And they wanted water. They had to pay good money to the Jewish people to buy clean water. So the sign of the tannin was not an affliction. It was just something symbolic. Yeah. Moshe's matah turned into a tannin. Paro asked the Chartumim to imitate Moshe. They did to some degree. And that was it. So you can't call it a makkah. But it was part of the process. So there was like an introduction. There was 10 makkahs. Before the first makkah of Dan, there was another makkah, the makkah of the tannin. Now, what am I trying to say? We spent some time yesterday about Egyptology. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Egyptology. And one of the things, you don't even need to come on to Egyptology for this. This is something which is yadua, clear as day from all the Mefarshim, that in ancient times there was a very strong belief that in gods, there's no such thing as one god doing more than one thing. There's a god of good and there's a god of bad. This is the gods in their mind are not multitaskers. They can't handle more than one thing, especially if this is their niche. They bring light. If a god brings light, it's impossible in the thinking of the Egyptians a god should bring darkness. If a god brings life, a god can't bring death. So how could there be death in this world? There's another god. Okay, there's another god. This god brings life, this god brings death. This god brings light, this god brings darkness. This god brings growth, this god brings decay. This is Pashat. What is the Chiddush of Yadus? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It was from Pshutim Ad Ma'od. Baruch Hashem, we take this for granted because it's so similar to us, Baruch Hashem, and similar to the world today. I think in the modern world, it's also pretty self-understood. Is there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam that brings Or Yoitzer Or is the one that's Baruch Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam that's Namis is the one that's Mechaya. Melech Namis or Mechaya. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's the same Hashem that brings the good days and brings the days that from our perception are not good. Everything comes from one Ribbono Shel Olam. But this idea was very, very distant to the ancient world.
But did Paro know about Hashem in the days of Yosef? How does it explain that?
Vayakam melech chodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yoda es Yosef. Either it's Chodesh Mamish, Nasa Atzma, Kim Kol Yoda. Paro said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koylon. Shude Shol Mikra is Paro. Paro denied, he wanted to deny, he did deny, whatever it is, he denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, we have Dvar Pshutim, Hashem Echad. In the ancient world, Dvar Pashut, there was no such thing as Echad. They pagans, they believe in multiple gods. Moshe did something over here that is an unbelievable. When you combine, when you connect the two makas together, what I'm calling the pre-maka and maka number one. Pre-maka was he took his staff, and the staff turned into a tannin. Where does a tannin live? It lives in the water. It's in Ferush in the Haftorah. Li yo'ri ha-tannin ha-gadol. Ha-oimer. Li yo'ri va'ani asisini. The tannin is associated with water. A tannin is not a snake. A tannin is a sea serpent. It is a creature who lives in the water. The tannin can come out of the water for a short period of time, but the tannin must go back to his source. The source, hataninim hagedolim, right? We have in the beginning of the Torah, Ma'aseh Bereishis. There were two tannin. There's no doubt about it, the natural habitat of the tannin is in the Mayim. In the Mayim. Okay, put that aside. What the Pasuk mentions that what happened when the Mayim turned into dam, the fish died. The Mayim was no longer a safe habitat for the fish. It's fascinating because even when Hashem destroyed the world in time of the Mabul, the fish survived. Right? The fish are very good, so they're survivors. They know how to persevere no matter what. They did not need to go into the Teva. Now the waters were very hot. In the time of the Mabul, didn't really were very hot. There was sulfur. Who knows what was going on? They survived. Some blood. When the water turns into blood, there's not enough. There's not enough oxygen. There's not enough nutrients in the blood. The fish have to die. The fish could not survive in blood. I guess not. That's the Metzius. The Metzius says that in all the miles of blood, fish cannot survive in blood. They need fresh water, salt water. Where the yar is fresh water. They need water. They need water. So the Pasuk emphasizes over and over, I'm warning you, if you're not going to behave, we're going to turn the water into blood. So you would think, if you don't have water, the world is over. Who cares about the fish? There are more important things in life than the fish. So you don't have sushi for lunch. You need water. Water is the basic element of life. No, not only are you not going to have what to drink, you can't live without water. And you can't bathe. You're not gonna have fish. Who cares about the fish? If I don't have what to drink, I'm not thinking about fish. And yet the Pasuk emphasizes, watch out, you're gonna lose all of your fish. Let me find around the Pasuk. Vayach Vahadogo Asher Bayar Mesa Vayiva Shayar. Okay, became foul. And the warning was, he warns him, Koyim Hashem, Zoysi Dakiyani Hashem. Notice even the warning, it doesn't tell you about the primary problem of the, it makes no mention of having to drink. It just says the water is going to turn into blood.
If all the water was turned into blood, how did Tumim do it? What water was left for them to experiment?
The Mepharshim asked that question. They deal with that question. It's a very popular question.
In
port, whatever. They bottled water, whatever it was. They have a solution. That's a side question. Let's not get sidetracked. So he warns them, all of the water is going to turn into blood. So you should now dwell upon, and you're going to have nothing to drink, and you're going to die. No. It's almost as if the most significant feature of the water turning into blood is the death of the fish. Vehadoga asher bayor tomus uvo ash hayor. And then it says the secondary thing. The secondary problem is vinilu. You're going to struggle. You're going to wear yourselves out. Mitzrayim lishtois mayim min hayor. If you were writing this pasuk, I have no doubt in my mind, you would put first Vinilu Mitzrayim Lishtoi Smayim Min Hayar. And once you say that, you wouldn't even think about what's for lunch. And if you really want to go talk about the fish, you'll put it in the second. You'll put it at the end of the pasuk. Not as the primary. Many people are allergic to fish. Yes. Can't even eat fish. So what's the big deal with fish? The water is the yikar. What's going on over here? The answer to this question lies in one word or two words. Gam lozos. Gam, when Paro was not impressed, when he chose Vayechazek Hashem, Vayechazek Paro, the key to this question, Gam lozos. This was not one maka. There are two sides to one coin. There are two makas. What was the first maka? The first maka was the creation of life. Melech tzmechaya, life, chayim. What is the ultimate life in Egypt? Paro. Pyro is the god of Egypt. What is Pyro? Pyro is the Tanin HaGadol. You don't need to go to Egyptology. It's the Haftorah. Pyro, go give a message to Pyro, who said, who's Pyro? How is he defined? How is Pyro defined in the Haftorah? The Tanin HaGadol. The large, the great sea serpent. Ha'omer, who says, Li Oili Vani Asisini. Moshe is taking the matter, and he's creating life from an inanimate wood, a piece of wood, becomes chayim, becomes a tanin. And the tanin is not just stam, a living creature. It's the ultimate living creature in this world, as far as Pyro is concerned, because Pyro, this is Egypt, and Egypt, Pyro is the god of Egypt. He is the source of all life and blessing to the people, and Pyro considers himself to be the tanin hagadol. There's no greater symbol of life than the tanin. And then what is the first makkah? Aaron takes the very same matter, the same exact matter, and this matter brings death. Death. He puts it into the Nile. He puts it into the Nile. And what happens? Let me read you the pasuk. Vayorem ba'mate, vayas kein Moshe v'Aaron, kasher tziva Hashem, vayorem ba'mate. He lifts up the same matter that turned into a tanin life, vayach es hamayim asher ba'yor, l'nei faro l'nei avodov, vayehovchu kol hamayim asher ba'yor l'dom, and all the fish die. If the fish dies, what else is going to die? The tanin. The tanin also lives. The tanin is just one, is the biggest fish. The tanin is the matter. How could one matter be both memis u'mechaya? How could it be the matter is the source of life and the matter is the source of death? This is the antithesis to everything that they believe in Egypt. In Egypt, they believe there's no such thing as Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. In Egypt, there's a god of life and there's a god of death. Pyro is only the god of life. I'm responsible for all the good things. You have problems in life, that's not my problem. I don't bring problems upon you. I only bring good to you. So me, you just bow down and worship. There's nothing bad about me. I'm life. Moshe shook up Pyro. The very first thing he did is, he said to Pyro, this whole religion you got here is total nonsense. What is this? More than one God? There's only one God. There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The matter that can become the tanin is the same matter that can bring death to the tanin. To all the doga, the source of life of the tanin is the mayim. It's the doga shebayam is tamos. There are two parts to the makir. It's not just stam, blood. It's the koyach to be makir. Like we say in the Shemona Esrei, Hashem is the melech who is memis umechayim. There's one Ribbono Shel Olam. The ultimate koyach of Echad is Memes Umechaya. Those are the extremes. Those are the extremes. There's Yoytze Aravari Choshech. Okay, there is growth and then there is decay. But the ultimate is life and death. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This is the first lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching Paro. It's coming to shake up the entire Egypt. Let's go to another Vart. Now this Vart is an incomplete Vart. It's a half-baked Vart. Okay, so I'm one on one. I ask you to be moist on the stint. So it's just a cute, short Vart. And it's a gematria. I normally don't pay much attention, but this one just struck a chord. Rabbi Yehuda ha-yidai se-mohem simonim. We have the first 10 makas of the sixth parasha. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, you know, let's focus on the simon. It's too much to spell out all the makos. Tatzach adash biachav. What is he coming to do over here, Yehuda? And why, when he did this, why was it so important to make a simon, to put the simon in the Haggadah? We have to actually say this in the Haggadah. Rabbi Yehuda, ha-yilezvorem simonim, tatzach adash biachav. It would appear Chazal are giving this cute little simon a little bit more importance than we would expect. We go so far. It's recorded. I'm sure there were many simonim that Chazal had in their times that were not recorded in the Gemara. And after they kachta, the simon should be recorded in the Haggadah. It's part of the future of the Haggadah. My high. So I saw Talmud come on two different ideas. I saw in one place that the Tzach Hadash Be'achav, the Gematria, and I actually checked it out to make sure I shouldn't say something foolish, is exactly 501. The letters, Tzach Hadash, the first letter of each one of the Amaklis is 501. What is the number 501? Is this Shas Barchum Shabbos? Is this Shas Barchum?
Yes.
So a lot of the Farshim, in this parish, they really start talking about Chodesh Shvat. Chodesh Shvat, Habo Aleinu L'Toyva, Chodesh Shvat, and the Bnei, each Chodesh corresponds to one of the Shvatim. 12 months, 12 Shvatim. Everyone likes the Darsh, and the month of Shvat corresponds to Osher. This coming Chodesh is the Chodesh of Shevet Osher. Osher is Begematria 501. Okay, so these two go. Interesting. So far, doesn't mean anything so far. Big deal, right? Gematria doesn't mean anything. What is Osher? Why did Leah, did she name her fourth child Osher? Kiyashuni was her fourth child. And it appeared to her at this point in time, she's not going to have any more children. She ended up having two more. She ended up having Yisachar. What?
Six.
Then was the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So who's Asher? Who's Asher?
From
Bila.
Zilpa.
I'm sorry, Zilpa. That was the last. That was her last. That no. Then she had afterwards. She had. She had six, right? All she had a total of six.
They were doing Yisachar again.
She herself had six. Why is she called? So why did she name from Zilpa? Did she name this child Asher ki Ishruni Vonois? What does that mean? Ishruni means they will praise me. Kamu Vonera Vayash Ruha. Her children will in Eshishka will rise up and they will praise her. Her children will praise her. Ki Ish, the daughters, the girls, the women, the Neshe Yisrael will praise. They're going to honor her at the next Neshe Malava Malka. So therefore, I'm naming my child Osher, right? It was the Bava Malka was that Mitzvah Shabbos, and she had the baby Friday, so they had to give a name on Shabbos. So since tonight, Mitzvah Shabbos, I'm the guest of honor at the local Neshe for the PTA in the elementary school. I'm being honored tonight, and I had a baby on Friday. My husband's going to Shuli. What's the name of the baby? I'll call it Osher, because tonight I am in the limelight.
Shalom
tonight, Ki Yeshuni Vanois. Is that what it means? Obviously not. What does it mean? So all of the Farshim, they struggle. Everyone is struggling. I never really heard a good shot. Everyone is, what does this mean of it? Yeshuni Vanois. So this morning I was actually searching very hard to see where this comes from. I saw something very interesting from Avraham Shur. Avraham Shur, now Lech Valiviv. This is very interesting. I don't know where he gets it from. I have to go back and see, because I didn't know I would say this over. I have to go back and see really where he says from. He says that it's very common among parents when they have children, as they are each child, they pay less attention to their chinuch. I'll give you an example. I know a mother said to me that my first child was bar mitzvah. The mother said to me, I knew his bar mitzvah parsha bal peh.
Yeah.
I practiced with him. I knew every word, every nekuda, every trop. I knew the whole parsha from beginning to end, and the haftorah and the brachas. I could have done it a lot better than him. I knew it, everything. And when he was laning, I was listening to every word and I was thinking. Then my second son wasn't the same. I didn't have the patience, the time. I know it. The third one, I don't know anything.
Negligence.
So this is natural. As each child, as a parent is more experienced, so you know what to focus on. Okay, it's a normal thing. Unfortunately, there's a mildness to this. Okay, you don't overdo it, you don't overbake your child. And on the other hand, there's a chesroinus. Sometimes the parents are just too busy; they don't give the later children the attention that they need. So Rav Shur, he quotes a source for this. I don't know what he's saying. So maybe some of the word kamu vonera vayashrua, the children. What do women do? What is the ikar tafkid of a woman? To raise the children, in addition to being the parnasa and doing everything else. But women pride themselves, they raise the children. When a woman slacks off as she has more and more children, that's a problem. For a mother, in order to give the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all the way down to the very end, the same attention and devotion that she gives the older children, That's an incredible talent. And that is the envy of all the other women. How were you able to raise your sixth child with the same devotion, the same intensity, the same freshness as your firstborn child? How could it be? I come into the house and I see you raising this child, you already have 9 hours, this is number six. It's Ki'ilu, it's your firstborn baby. How? How is it possible? It's a talent. Ki ishruni vonois. Asher ki yeshuni, but all of the Benos Yisrael, which means all of her colleagues, all of the women of the Jewish people, they will praise me in witnessing and see how I did not lose any steam. I did not slack off. This was the last of the sequence, because after here, after this child is begins Vatetze, really was she was meant to stop here. If you look at the Pesukim in the Parsha, now Rachel enters into the picture. Reuven comes with the Dudoim. Now begins a whole new Tekufa. Even though she did have more children, but it's very clear from the Pesukim, this was her children. She had her four children. Then they had Bila and Zilpah. And like, it's over now. It's over. Now it was expected that Rachel would have children. It did not go. So then it turns out that Leah had more children. But this was already like the end. And it's my last child. It's the last child. I'm a surrogate mother because it's Bila's child, but it's my last child. She's saying at the very end, it's my last child, at least according to Alderach HaTeva, but Ki Ishruni Vonois, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to raise this kid the same way I raised Reuven. No difference. I'm going to put in the same devotion, and all the mothers of the world, when they see how I raise this child, I'm committing myself. Ki Ishruni Vonois, don't think I got my hands full here. I got my hands full. I got six children running around making trouble. I'm just going to wipe this kid under the rug, push him under the rug, under the bus. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a takif with him. I'm going to do everything. Ki ishruni vanois. They're going to praise me for this kid. They're going to see. So it comes that Asher represents the shbitz of chinuch habanim. And Rabbi Yeshua says the proof is in the pudding. What do we include the biggest Talmud Chacham from all of the children of Yaakov Avinu? Not Yisachar. Not Yisachar. No, he says not Yisachar. Chazal say it was Osher. Osher ki mi Osher. Shemeina lachmai. Says in Chazal, Shemeina lachmai. What is lechem? Lechem luchu, lacham, lachamu, bo'ami. Chazal say lechem is Torah. Is Torah. Yisosher didn't just have lechem. He learned the daf. He learned the words. The Gemara. It was shenena lachmai. His daf Gemara. The lechem lechu lachem ubaami. The lechem was shenena. When he learned the daf yomi, he knew the daf yomi inside of every taisus, every risha, and he knew the stuff shenena lachmai. And so that's the bracha. That's the bracha, Birchas Yaakov, that says there, I remember the whole pasuk. What's the whole pasuk?
Me'asher shemena lachmo, v'hu'yitin ma'adane melech.
Me'asher shemena lachmo, v'hu'yitin ma'adane
melech. Moshe Rabbeinu gam kin,
melech.
Moshe Rabbeinu gam kin gave him birkat shemena.
And what's the proof? The proof is, Asher is associated with Mishnais. Shemena is the same letters as Mishnah. Mishnah, Shemena is Mishnah. Shemena represents, it represents the building blocks of all of Chacham, Torah Shel Alpeh. The building blocks, the foundation of Torah Shel Alpeh is Mishnayis. It all starts Torah Shel Alpeh. That's the Bible. This Chamish Echum Shnei Torah, that's the Torah Shel Chsav, and Torah Shel Alpeh is Mishnah. And from the Mishnah, we extrapolate, we mefalpel to Talmud, and the chulu. It's the source, Asher. So look at this. Leah made a commitment. She made a commitment that I am going to, it's my sixth child, it's now at the end, according to the Alderach HaTeva, I'm not supposed to have any more children, now it's Rachel's turn, and Rachel with a Bila, it's Rachel and Bila, it's now their turn, things did not work out perfectly, so it ended up, that she had more children, but at the end of this Tekufi, go look at Parash Vayetze, you'll see what I'm talking about, this is like the end, I'm making a commitment, and that commitment, Godel Mitzuvi V'Yoseh, Mimi She'ena Mitzuvi V'Yoseh, her commitment to raise Asher 100% resulted in, indeed, he became even better than everyone else. She had all the experience. In fact, when you have all the experience, and you're committed to this child the same way you're committed to your first child, so what do you think? The child turns out even better. It turns out even better, and that's why Asher was the biggest Talmud Chacham, he was the Shemein Lachmai, he represents Mishnah. Okay. That's Asher. Success. in Chinuch HaBanim. Commitment and success. It's a good name for yeshiva, no? Yeshiva Osher. Commitment, commitment to Mimagadal a child, and success. Look what came from Osher. Now, we have a very new appreciation of why the Haggadah, we focus on Datzach HaDash B'Achav. There are 10 Makas. What is this all about? 10 Makas. Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim, Arov, Dever, Shrin. What's going on over here? What's going on? You know, if all of the Makos would have been in the Medrash, you wouldn't blink. Moshe comes to Paro, Shlach Ani, Koremar Hashem, Bibi Bichor Yisrael, and it says Hashem brought upon them Makos and this and that. And then it says it came Makos Bichorois, and we would skip Kamat, the whole Parashas, we would skip the whole Parashas for Era, we would merge it with Parashas with Bo, and then there would be a nice Medrash, telling you all the details. There were 10 makos. We don't have all the details what happened on the Yam. Chazal said on the Yam there was also makos. It says there were 10 makos, 20 makos, 25, a chulo, 100 makos, all the whole in the Haggadah. There isn't in the Torah. It just says they went over, they crossed the Yamsuf. Is there one mention that there were makos? It says they drowned. They drowned. We learned a few interesting things about the Shira Sayam, different types of torture, drowning. Some went quick, some went slow, some went very slow. But doesn't say anything. And yet we have in the Haggadah that just like there were Makos in Mitzrayim, there were Makos on the Yam, and some say, no, there were more Makos, more Makos, more Makos. Where does it say there were more Makos? Excuse me. Oh, it's in the look in the Medrash. If we would put all this in the Medrash, no one would be disturbed. We'll be in the Medrash. Why did the Torah go through the effort to teach you all the nitty-gritty details of what happened over here? The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda Hoya Noisen Bohem Simon, don't lose focus. Keep your eye on the ball. The whole story is recorded for one purpose only. V'higadita levincha bayoy ma'hu le'mor bavur ze'asa shem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. The purpose of the Makos is not just for records. What Hashem did to Paro, revenge, vengeance to the Egyptians, it's to teach. It's a teaching tool for the children. Look at each of the 10 Makos. Look at the uniqueness. Look at the elements. Look at how they suffered. Look at the Maamar Chazal. The purpose of the 10 Makos, Rabbi Yehuda Hoyenoisen Bohem Simonin, he gave you a way to remember what the purpose of all of this is for. And you know what the purpose is? Datzach Adash Biachav 501. Osher! What is Osher? Osher is commitment to Chinuch HaBanim and success in Chinuch HaBanim. L'man tesater be'oznei vincha uven vincha eis asher hisalamti v'mitzrayim. The whole purpose of the whole, Hashem says to Moshe, the whole purpose is you shall tell in the ears of your children, your grandchildren, how I mocked them, what I did to them, I made litzonos out of the Egyptians. Everything here is a tool of teaching. This is not a record. It's not glory in vengeance, in punishment. Don't lose focus. It's just a record for us to use as a tool to be mechanech a next generation in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the Haggadah, Haggadah is v'garta levincha b'yom avu le'mar. We dwell. We very heavily dwell on the Makos. And we even tell you the Makos by the Kriyas Yamsuf. And we do all these things about the Makos. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda in the Haggadah says, don't forget the purpose. Don't forget. That Tzach HaDash B'Achav, 501. 501 is Osher. Osher is Ki Ishuni Bonois. Every single one of the Dalet Banim in his way has to be taught. There are lessons to learn. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Another
quick
idea. Yes. Baruch is the best. Moshe said about Osher, he's the best. Baruch Mibonim, Moshe an appreciation, because Moshe was Torah. Moshe was Kulu Torah. Another quick idea. The Tzvardeya. Tzvardeya is a very interesting creature. I have a joke with Rav Meir. Who is the Tzvardeya? It's a joke. Remember, it's a joke. Don't take me seriously here. I'm warning you now. It says Vatal HaTzardeya. The Tzardeya was Oyel Ligadula. Oyel Ligadula. It's not like an Admar, a Rosh Hashiva. Who was Zoicha? Vatal HaTzardeya to the Oyel of such Gedula? Who is the Tzardeya? Rabbeinu, Moreinu, Rabbeinu, Rabbi Kormit, the Admor Nisaxony. Kormit. Kormit the frog. No, you don't know. Different generation. Okay. No one's laughing. Okay. Rav Meir thought it was funny. Rav Meir thought it was funny. Okay. Yeah, I guess the audience. All right. Sorry. All right. Sorry. Let's go further. Fatal Hatzardeya. Let's study for a few moments until we run out of time. The Tzardeya comes upon. Each Makkah is unique. What are the unique characteristics of the Tzardeya and the events of the Tzardeya? Number one is Moshe used the expression Hispoeroli. When the time came for the Tzardeya to leave, when Paro came begging Moshe, no, we can't live with these frogs, crocodiles. I don't know what they were. We don't even know what they are. Frogs or crocodiles, something in between. So Moshe, okay, I'll pray to Hashem that they should disappear. When would you like? He used a very unique expression. Glorify yourself over me. Challenge me. Challenge me.
Test me.
Test me. Challenge me. Test me. When the Tzardeya should disappear. When should I? I'll be misspelled right now, and it will disappear at the time of your liking. What is going on over here? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden, when it comes to the Tzardeya, using such an expression, I'm going to daven now, but it will come to fruition later, at the time of your liking? And Paro says, L'machar, not now, I want it to be machar. What is it all about? What's going on? Furthermore, what is Tzardeya? Why, how does Tzardeya in the sequence of events, is Dam, so why is Tzardeya number two? What do frogs have to do with anything? Okay, Dam, we have a little bit of an understanding of Dam. Dam is the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, the Yor. They lived, there was no rain. They worshipped the Yor. That's Egyptology. Okay, they worship, that's easy to understand. What is the Tzardeya? Frogs. Maybe in Egyptology we'll find something about frogs. Let's learn Pshut Shel Mikra. So there's one very simple thing we have to know about frogs that doesn't answer all the questions, which really opens up a whole new world of understanding. And that is Perek Shira. Remember, once upon a time we learned Perek Shira, we started, it didn't go too well, so we stopped. We learned a little bit of Perek Shira. Every creature in this world, not every, but many creatures in this world, many different elements of this world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, various types of trees and vegetation, and animals, fish, and have a unique song. There's a pasuk in the Torah that is used in Perek Shira to express the unique song of each creature. Every one of the creatures in Perek Shira draws its inspiration from a pasuk in Tanakh. There's only one exception, the frog. The Tzardeya in Perek Shira draws its Shira not from a pasuk that's recorded anywhere in the Torah. Shocking. By the way, who wrote Perek Shira? No one knows. Some say David, some say Shlomo, some say the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. It's a very big mystery who authored Perek Shira. But whoever it is, the frog is the only one that does not draw its inspiration from a pasuk in the Torah. It's a unique. It takes it from, I guess it's a medrash. And the medrash is, it said, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Liolam Voed. This is the song of the frog. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Liolam Voed. Now, I don't know why. So that's the big question. Okay, well, that's something which has to be understood. But obviously, this is what? They were suicidal. They did Hashem. So why is that called Baruch Shem? Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso? I don't know. Okay, this is something which is not a different topic of discussion. So it's an empty. It's something which is a big question and doesn't answer the question. But let's just use it. Let's just Perek Shira. Who doesn't have Perek Shira in their house? Today became a big business. Perek Shira. Okay, a lot of people, arts, a lot of companies made a lot of money selling illustrated versions of Perek Shira. Everyone has a Perek Shira and Baruch Shem Kvar Malchuso Liolam Voed. That's the song of the frog. Now, with that idea, everything changes. That idea changes the whole Parashas Va'era. What was the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu did in the first Makkah? He told him, like I told you before, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu. Let's continue our theme. First thing, here's the matter. The matter, and from your perspective, you Paro, what's called life? You're life. You represent life. You're the God of the whole Egypt, whole Egyptian society. Liyori v'ani astisini. Pasuk in the Haftarah, Yechezkel, right? I don't have to come on to Egyptology. Pasuk in Yechezkel. Liyori v'ani astisini. The Tanin Hagadol. Oh, you're everything. You're the God of the world. So look at that. My matter makes life. You think you're the God. I can make life. I can take my matter. Hashem is saying the matter can make life. And you know this. And where does the Tannin live? Egypt. They worship the Nile. They worship Pyro and they worship the Nile. Pyro is the God and the God lives in the Nile. The Nile was the source of life in Egypt. There is no sustenance. It floods. They celebrate. They come down to the Nile to worship. It's the Chazal full of this. They worship the Nile. These are the two gods. So what does Moshe do? Look, the same stick can go, can give life, and it can take away life. There's only one God. Hashem is the Melech, whose name is Umechaya. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Mateh and the Yam, and blood. What comes after we say Shema Yisro Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? What's the next thing that we do in davening? Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchuso Yolam Voed. What are the frogs? What is the Shira of the frogs? Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchuso Yolam. There's a sequence here. Now, let's just start. What is the difference between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What do we call that? When we explain what we're doing, it's called Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. We accept the yoke of heaven. There's an acknowledgement. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. I acknowledge you. There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, and Memela, we have no choice but to do your will. And we do it by Ahava and with Yira, wonderful. But there's another element in this world that's very critical, and that is Kavod, honor. Doesn't exist today. Doesn't exist anywhere today. Come on. Today, the whole Kavod is a joke. What does it mean, Kavod? What does it mean, Kavod HaMalchus? What does it mean, Kavod of just human dignity, Kavod HaBrios? Fortunately, the whole idea of Kavod today is so foreign to us. But there's something in this world called Kavod. And the one that deserves the ultimate covet is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not enough to acknowledge that there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. All that does for you, it demands of you to serve Hashem. You serve Hashem with love, you serve Hashem with fear. But does that mean you mechaber Hashem? You make it, covet means you make it part of your life. It's important. It changes everything. When you give kavod, it changes your whole life. When you go and you see it in the yeshivas sometimes, they have this thing called kavod haTorah. Every yeshiva on there are a different level. Every yeshiva different aspects of kavod haTorah. It changes your whole life. If you're trained with an appreciation of kavod haTorah, it's a whole different life. The value system in life, it's not that you just do the mitzvahs. You have a different perspective. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate covet. So stage two is, now that we know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, stage two is, let's also, in addition, it's not totally zeh b'zeh, in addition to the Ahav and the Yira we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam, let's give Hashem covet. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchus L'Olam Voed. This is stage two. Is there covet Hashem in this world today? Is there covet? The answer is no. How do we know this? Because we say it very quietly. We say, Chazal had a dilemma. Had a dilemma. What should we do? Should we say Baruch Shem or not? Yaakov said Baruch Shem. He also v'agidu lechem eis ha-shayikra bi'achre sayonim. The Shechina departed. The Klal Yisrael said, Bnei Yisrael said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Lioilam Voet. Klal Yisrael was makir the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Yaakov says, give Hashem covet as well. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he wrote the Torah? No covet. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He omitted Baruch Shem. Why did Moshe omit Baruch Shem? Moshe realized that he failed, that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael with them, and the Geula, what they're going to have in it is going to be short lived. And even though it was an accomplishment, the world is makir, monotheistic. It's makir. There's one Ribbono Shel Olam. The whole world today is makir. It says on the penny, in God we trust. You can't deny the fact that we succeeded in bringing an awareness to the world. There's Hashem Echad, but we failed. We failed in bringing to the world an appreciation of the Kavod Malchus.
The end of Yom Kippur we do.
Occasionally, we make believe we're living in the times of Mashiach. We're yearning for it, so we say it out loud. But on a daily basis, we say it quietly because it represents our failure, but our desire, our yearning for the days of Mashiach when it will be fulfilled. Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchusa will be achieved.
Will
be achieved.
The angels say Baruch
Shem. Therefore, the Dvar over there, look what happened over here. Moshe was rubbing it in really, really thick. Really thick to Paro. Look what Moshe did to Paro. He shook up the whole Egyptian society to the core. They're pagans, multiple gods, every little thing. The tissue box had its own god, right? The pen had its own god. Life and death, it couldn't be dove more rochot mi mizrach l'mayav than life and death. Moshe shook up the whole society. Bunch of fools. Hashem Echad. Melech Nemes Amachaya. Who do you got over here in this country? The Tanin HaGadol and the Liya Orivani Astisini? The Mater! The same Mater! Melech Nemes Amachaya. Hashem Echad. Next come the frogs. Not only is there a Ribbon Shalom in this world, be Mechabe Hashem. Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchusa. They went out of their minds. Too much to handle. Too much to handle. Paro, what he's saying is, you're going too fast for us. You're going too fast. Slow down. Slow down. You got to slow down a little bit. Moshe says, you want me to slow down? Okay, but the pasuk is in the negative. But we have to appreciate, this is like more of remes. Everything has a parallel. Whatever is in the negative has a parallel. I'm not explaining myself because I don't know what I mean. I'm saying, but it's just too obvious to ignore these parallels. These parallels, the similarities. Moshe is saying to Paro, saying you're going too fast. Fine, but you have to acknowledge the day will come. Just see allusions, hints to this thing. His spoiler. And by the way, what does the word his spoiler mean? Pe'er. What object of mitzvah is called the pe'er? Tefillin. Pe'erecha yichazkel, pe'erecha chovu sholecha. Wear your tefillin. Tefillin, pe'er. When we put on the tefillin, what do? We say, asher kiddushon, at least Ashkenazim, asher kiddushon, b'mitzvahs v'mitzvahnu, al mitzvahs tefillin. And then what do? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Liolom. Why you'll tell me? Because Baruch Levatala. That's one answer, which is a very weak answer. You don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha to say Baruch Shem. It's a very schwach answer, but that's what we say. But you say Baruch Shem. Just like you say Shema, I put on my tefillin. Unbelievable. What's in the tefillin? What does it say in the tefillin? What does it say in the tefillin? Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what do you do when you finish saying Shema? Now that I know that you there's a Ribbono, I want to give you covet. Kivod Malchuso, stage 2. Just like when you say Shema. So we put on the tefillin. This is a mice of covet of Shema Yisrael and the guf. We say, so say it out loud. We're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. When will you be ready, Paro? When you, Paro, you represent the entire world. You represent the Umay Sa'olam. Paro, his Sporelai, Lemosai Atir Lucha. When should I pray that this come forth? When will you be ready? Paro said, Limochar. We're not ready yet. The day will come. Yesh Mochar Le'acharzman. The day is yet to come. The Hoyo Hashem Lemelech Al Koharetz. Bayamahu Yashem Echarushmachar. The day will come. Right now we're living in a world where Ruba de Ruba, the Olam is Makir, Hashem Echad. I think that's Pashut, okay? People, that's the world, Ruba de Ruba, Hashem is Echad. They have a very, very, very distorted and corrupt understanding of what Hashem Echad means, but to some degree, people today in the world are Makir the same, Ribbono Shel Olam brings the good days, brings for us days that don't seem so good, but everything is good by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to just understand it. But what's lacking, sorely lacking in this world, is the Kvod Malchusa. His Spoher Olai. When will the Pe'er, when will the glory of Hashem Echad be? V'ro kol am ha'aretz. Paro says, we're not ready yet, but we got the message. L'mochar. The day will come. Also, it's in the Duyik. It's also in the Duyik in the Pasuk. Moshe was Mispalel al Devar Hatzvar Deim. Why does it say he was mistal for the Devar? the matter relating to the frost. Moshe should say he was mispalel for the removal of the tzvardim. The issue was not that tzvardim should be removed. The issue was the devar, the words of the tzvardeya. What devar doesn't just mean the matter. Devar means dibur. What are the words of the tzvardeya? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. Too much for us. Too much to Kvod Malchuso. L'mochar will be ready for the Kvod Malchuso.
I think.
May you all have a wonderful Shabbos and a good Shabbos.
Shalom Amelech. Shalom Amelech. Shalom Amelech.